Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now, tomorrow is Congressional Primary Day in New York State. And here on The Brian Lehr Show, we've been bringing you all the candidates and some of the contested races, as many of you have been hearing. Charles Rangel and his opponents in Manhattan and the Bronx. Charles Barron versus Hakeem Jeffries in Brooklyn. The Democrats running to succeed Gary Ackerman in Queens. And Congresswoman Nydia Velazquez and her challengers in her district that includes parts of Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Queens. We hope this has been a useful service for many of you and that you do go out and vote if there is a race in your area tomorrow. We'll preview primary day now, including some of the races we did not have the chance to get the candidates on the air for, and take your questions about the whole thing with New York Observer political reporter David Friedlander. Hi, David. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
First, this whole thing is new. The New York primary for everything except president has long been in September, usually the Tuesday that comes 8 days after Labor Day. What are we doing having a primary in June anyway?
Well, that is a result of the legislature essentially not being able to get its act together and coordinate the primaries for the state races and the city races along with the federal races. And so we will have this June primary. It will be tomorrow. Because of this, actually, none of the campaigns really know who's going to come out and vote. It's sort of like a special election. They're trying to identify the voters, bring them out, let them know tomorrow's election day. But it's really everything's up in the air.
So we had the presidential primary in April with Romney and friends, the congressional primaries tomorrow, and then another one in September for state and city nominations. These primaries have low turnouts to begin with. Add to that the primary election fatigue that people will experience with so many election days even before November, the people making these choices will often be only from a small circle of friends and political wonks, won't they?
I think that's probably right. And, you know, although people are making predictions about who's going to win tomorrow, it's sort of like your previous segment looking at the Supreme Court ruling. We just really don't know what's going to happen. It seems like it'll be about generating turnout from your base, which is why you're seeing these campaigns really sticking to the neighborhoods where they know right now.
And the September primary, just for the record, will be the Thursday, 10 days after Labor Day, not that Tuesday, because Tuesday is September 11th, and the attacks in 2001 did come on a Tuesday. That was a New York primary day. So just so you know, folks, mark your calendars for Thursday, September 13th, so you can pick your party's nominees for those super exciting state legislature races mostly. But tomorrow, there is one statewide race, David, among Republicans hoping to run against Senator Kirsten Gillibrand in November. One of them is the Democrat slayer, Congressman Bob Turner, who won Anthony Weiner's district, remember, folks, after Weiner resigned. Who are Turner's opponents?
Well, he's sort of locked in a tight race now with Wendy Long, who is a lawyer in Manhattan, a sort of darling among many conservatives. She was actually a clerk for Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas at one point. In addition,
I knew we would make a Supreme Court here segue somehow.
trying our best. And then also George Marigos, who is the controller of Nassau County, is running. He has been running against Gillibrand for almost a year and a half or so. It looks as if his campaign is sort of fading in the final days here, and it appears if we have a two-person race between Bob Turner and Wendy Long.
Do they differ much on the issues, or is this all about who can beat Gillibrand and who's more qualified? What's the race really about?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about all of that. Turner is certainly running as someone more moderate than Wendy Long. Wendy Long has the backing of the state conservative party, and she is a sort of loud and proud conservative. She recently said at a debate that she would not attend the gay wedding of a friend of hers. And Turner has talked about a little bit
That's hardcore.
Yeah, it is pretty hardcore, especially in New York State. Turner is talking a little bit more as a moderate. He talked about the need to compromise, some need to raise revenue if we're going to get the budget deficit in shape. That's really what it comes down to. But it still will come down to who will bring out their base. And I think a lot of Turner's base is here in New York City and the suburbs, and Long is performing probably better upstate.
Any chance that this could be a competitive race for either of them against Gillibrand? Will Turner, if it's him, get Ed Koch's endorsement like he did for Congress on the basis of President Obama's position on Israel? That was key to Turner's victory.
That was what boosted Turner into Congress. I think that's unlikely. Koch has signaled support for Gillibrand. And I think who comes out of this Republican primary is going to be in a very tough situation against Gillibrand. I mean, the year to have beaten her was 2010. She's raised a lot of money. She's raised her profile. She's very popular. Talking to some of her supporters, they feel pretty confident regardless of who wins tomorrow.
And remember, folks, 2010 was a special election to fill the rest of the term that was Hillary Clinton's after she got appointed Secretary of State. That's why Gillibrand has to run again 2 years later. This is the actual cycle in the six-year term cycle for this Senate seat. Another race we didn't get to on our show in Westchester and points north, a Democratic primary to run against Republican Congresswoman Nan Haworth, who is a freshman and a doctor and has Tea Party support. Remind us about this district, first of all. Who did Haworth defeat to
get
in?
She defeated John Hall, who was a two-term congressman, also the frontman for the band Orleans, if anyone's memory goes back that far. And she it is one of the quintessential swing districts actually in the country. It tends to elect Democrats in Democratic years, Republicans in Republican years. It's probably a slightly more Democratic advantage now once the lines got redrawn. And Haworth was a doctor up in that way.
Now, it must really be a swing district because Hull is very liberal and she's very conservative. Could she be vulnerable for being a Tea Party favorite as too conservative for the New York area?
I think she's very vulnerable. It won't be easy by any means. Republicans really like her, but you know, she stumbled in some really important ways. Mostly after the flooding, the Hudson Valley flooded last summer, she said that there shouldn't be any federal aid unless it's brought with commensurate budget cuts, which really angered a lot of people in the district. So she's vulnerable.
That was after Irene?
Yeah, exactly. So she is vulnerable, but also has raised a lot of money, popular in Republican circles, so it'll be a race.
So who are these Democrats running in the primary tomorrow to run against her?
Well, there are a handful, including the vendor who alerted police to the Times Square bomber is in the race. But really it's come down to about two candidates. There's Rich Becker, who's a cardiologist in Westchester. He is also a Cortland town councilman up there.
Ooh, could be doctor on doctor.
Exactly, which is the race that Becker says he wants, because they'll talk about Obamacare, assuming it's still the law by November. And then Sean Patrick Maloney is the other candidate. Maloney is a former Clinton aide. He's an LGBT activist, worked in the Spitzer administration and the Patterson administration.
Thought he lived in the city.
And he does live in Manhattan, which is a problem. Recently bought a house, however, in Cold Spring, which is in the district. And, you know, for that matter, Becker doesn't live in the district either, although he did and he had to move once the lines got redrawn.
My guest, David Friedlander, for just another couple of minutes, New York Observer political reporter, as we're previewing primary day for congressional nominees in New York State tomorrow. Let's just very briefly review some of the other races. I guess the marquee contest remains Charles Rangel versus two main contenders, State Senator Adriano Espaillat, who would be the first Dominican congressman, and that district is much more Latino than it used to be before redistricting, which gives him an extra shot, and Clyde Williams, a well-funded aide to Bill Clinton, who they say has raised the most money. And I'll tell you, David, I live in that district, and the Williams bank account is showing. I have gotten multiple mailings from them, and over the last few days, over the weekend, multiple robocalls from that campaign, more than from Rangel or Espaillat, which have also showed up in my voicemail. So if he is a third wheel in this race, Clyde Williams, he is a third wheel with money.
Yeah, you know, he's something of a long shot heading into Tuesday, just because Rangel has the advantage of incumbency. You know, Espaillat has the advantage of running in a district that's majority Latino and to become the first Dominican member of Congress. But you never know. I mean, Williams has certainly been surging. He's gotten a lot of positive press coverage. And as you say, he's raised a lot of money. And a lot of people, I think, are really impressed with him.
And another thing about that race, 2 years ago when Rangel was also facing a primary challenge, he was in the midst of the scandal investigations about some of his travel and rent-stabilized apartments, and he got reelected anyway. Congress did go on to officially censure him, but that doesn't seem to be much of what the opponents' campaigns have been about. out. I guess he already proved to the voters, or proved that the voters don't take that stuff all too seriously in his case.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he got 51% or so last time. He didn't have strong opponents like he has now. Both of these guys are much, much stronger than he was facing then. And so I think that, yeah, I think this race is really coming down to age in many cases, with both Espy and Williams arguing this time to turn the page after Rangel presiding for 40 years. And of course, you know, ethnicity, which kind of trumps all in New York politics.
As it does in the Gary Ackerman seat, as it might in the Gary Ackerman seat, Ackerman retiring from his Queens district. Grace Mann could become New York's first Asian-American member of Congress in a newly drawn district that's 40% Asian-American. But Assemblyman Rory Lantzman is also a strong candidate. Is that going to be mostly about ethnic ties?
I think that'll have a lot to do with it. From what I've been hearing, that you know, Asian voters are the ones that seem most energized by the race out there. But Lantzman is a hard-charging politician, sort of in the Schumer mode. And you know, he'll be formidable. He has a lot of union support, which will get boots on the ground on Tuesday.
And briefly on the Velasquez race, you know, this is the most interesting one to me because of all the intrigue around whether two of her opponents, City Councilman Eric Martin Dillon and businessman Dan O'Connor, are actually running at the behest of Brooklyn Democratic Party boss Vito Lopez, who has a 20-year feud with Velasquez. These are all liberal Democrats. In the words of the late Rodney King, can't they all get along?
Yeah, not in Brooklyn they can't, and they haven't for some time. Fascinating. You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. It remains, you know, this seems to be a power play on the part of Vito Lopez. Nydia has been a kind of beloved figure, I think, in many parts of the district for a long time. But, you know, they have organization and money behind them, the Dillon camp, so we'll see.
And the other candidate in that race, George Martinez, running as an Occupy Wall Street candidate, even though the Occupy movement usually stays out of the electoral politics fray as a matter of principle, you think this is some kind of a test for whether Occupy wants to get more into fielding candidates, a little Tea Party envy?
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Occupy is going to continue to stay out of electoral politics. I don't see him really being a contender on Tuesday. I mean, again, you never know, but I think it'll probably come down to Velasquez or Dillon.
New York Observer, political reporter David Friedlander, thank you very much for joining us. Hopefully this is another one of those conversations that just lets people who have these underreported races in their districts tomorrow know that there are primaries. You have to be registered in your party, a Republican registration for the Senate race we were talking about, Democrat for these House races. But it is Congressional Primary Day in New York tomorrow, and we will talk about it again tomorrow on the day. David, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Peter Capelli from the Wharton School of Business on his book, Why Good People Can't Get Jobs. Stay with us.